Hi, Sarah. Welcome back for round two.
Hi, Jake. So happy to be here.
So there's a bunch of different places we could go with this. We had a really interesting first conversation a little while back. And I know for both of us there are several kind of hooks and things that stuck out that would be interesting to follow up on. I guess to get rolling, since this is a pretty open one, we're kind of just going wherever. Do you have anything that in mind that you would like to start with that we could talk about?
Well, I think an interesting place to start, a la what we were talking about before we started rolling, is a question I would ask you upon listening to many of your other podcasts. And I want to encourage all the listeners to check them all out because each
Thanks.
one just seems so fascinating. I'm curious about what you are getting from these. Like, it's unique, the characters that you're inviting to speak to you. And in a way, I feel like you're searching for something. So I'm curious to hear you speak. Why are you doing this podcast? What are you getting from it? What are you seeking? What are you searching for? What's going on for you?
Yeah, so this kind of goes back to something that we talked about in the past one about just, I guess, just intuition and feel. And I mentioned Rick Rubin, who is very influential in the way that I think about creativity. Like, I basically just kind of follow what he says because it happens to work for me and resonate with me. And he's basically, you're taking one step at a time and just seeing what you feel like. And this is something where for me, that's things like meditation and various spiritual practices that help me get in touch with that awareness a little bit better has been very beneficial because I can actually, it's a muscle that I've been developing. Not that I'm great at it, but I've gotten better and better at being able to tell instead of having like a set goal, which is the way that I was. I played sports growing up, so I was very goal oriented with exercise and things like that. And I've kind of unwound that a little bit, and I've just kind of been navigating intuitively. So that's kind of where, in terms of guests, it turns out that I seem to have fairly broad interests, but I don't really, for the most part, I don't sit down and think, like who exactly do I want to talk to necessarily. I kind of just find topics and I'm like, ooh, that'd be cool. And then I'll find people that, so like for most of my guests, I found them through other podcasts. Like the Be Here Now Network was one of the places that I started just because I was like, okay, this is interesting to me. Those are people that do podcasts. Let's just see. And then, there are different books that have been written and stuff. And I'm like, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. So I'm kind of just trying to find things that I would be interested in learning about otherwise, and then seeing if I can somehow turn that into a podcast by finding a person to talk to about it. And so and being able to learn from these people and asking my own questions, because you could read the book, and that's really where like the information dense aspect of it is. But then when I read something, I have a, I guess, a curiosity if it's something that I'm interested in, where I kind of just sprout off into a bunch of different ideas that aren't answered in the book. So then in doing podcasts with people, I can just start asking some of those questions. And then the benefit of having a fairly broad range of people on is that I have just different ideas that I can draw from and just kind of see how things come together. So that's kind of where a lot of my questions will come from. In terms of what I'm getting from it, I think that's really it. I just enjoy that game. I just enjoy the game of just finding things I'm interested in, learning about it, seeing how it ties to other things, and just talking to interesting people. And yeah, I mean, sometimes the amount of information can get a little overwhelming, and I don't have like a great system for synthesizing it right now. But I think on some level, because I used to be very meticulous with note taking and stuff when it comes to books or podcasts or something, but I'm starting to get to a point where I think to some extent it kind of just soaks in, and then it comes out when I'm doing an episode or something, or if I'm writing something or whatever. Like when I was listening to our episode to prep for this, some of the stuff I was saying, I was like, I don't even know where that came from. And so I'll kind of just start saying stuff, and I think that's the utility of the information. I think it just kind of gets in somewhere, because I'm also, it's a little weird in a way that I don't like thinking very much throughout the day. I kind of just prefer to just be like in a more meditative state. So I think it comes in through like my conscious mind, and then it kind of soaks in unconsciously. And then whenever I need information, it kind of just pops out. So that's where I've been with, these episodes that I've been doing, the information that I take in. I think it gets in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then whenever it's useful, it just kind of comes out. Because otherwise, if I tried to contain all of it, I've done that before and my brain just falls apart and I actually can't think at all. So it's a weird process that I found actually through taking exams. I found that was my best way to do exams. My best results came from, I would meditate before exams and I would not touch the material the day of. And then I would just kind of let it, I would just take the exam with like not thinking anything. And I would just be like that one or that one, like A, B. And then somehow that ended up being much better than if I was like thinking about stuff before the exam. So that's kind of how I approach these two. I'm not sure if that answers your question. That's kind of just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to love for you to listen back to what you just said. Here's what I heard. Before we started rolling, you were talking about how sometimes your brain, you just are so interested in so many different things, a polymath, right? And then you said, but maybe that is, you know, the syndrome of shallow wells, too many shallow wells. And I was feeling into, as you were saying that, my sense of you is that there's tremendous depth. So where is the relationship between your very active and explorative mind, right, and that quality of the polymath? And where is that? What is that in relation to your depth? And then you mentioned Rick as one of the first people, Rick Rubin, who's an artist, and he's written a book. The Creative Act.
I lost my mind when he came out with that book, because I'd been a big fan of him for years before that. And I saw that and I was like, 5 years later, I was like, no way. Because I thought he was always like going to be like in the background. Yeah. And I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And what you just described, and for the listener, what Rick was doing in this book, because he's an artist, he's a musician, right? And a producer as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mostly a producer.
Mostly a producer. Right. Mm-hmm. And he has a sense of the creative process.
Yeah.
And so what you just described is what I hear Rick describing, which is take in everything that's around you. Take in all of your interests. And in sophistry, what I would say is let all the selves out. Yeah. Let them play. Let them speak. Let them run. Let them feel from anger and rage to joy and bliss and whatever they're interested in. And then step back from them, so to speak, into what I call the witness, but what Ram Dass calls loving awareness. And that's what I hear you saying. You're saying, I study all the details for the exam. That's myself doing their thing. And then I just let them be. And I put my attention into some place inside that is more spacious. And then I connect to what I would call source.
Yeah.
We were talking about Lorna. She calls it God by a million different names, the field that we all are and live in. And that is your, what you were calling in our last podcast, your intuition. And the difference between your emotion, which is happens in the selves, they get excited or they get turned off or they get however they get, and this drinking from the well, the depth of the well, is, I would say, describing exactly the spiritual, I'm putting that in little quotes for the listener, air quotes, the spiritual life. You're living it. There's nothing more that you need to learn to do or know. You just keep doing what you're doing and life, the river of life will carry you.
Yeah, the river is like, it's very much the way I think about it. Because that's kind of how I discern. And I'm curious to see how you discern this too. You know, we talked a little bit in the last one about intuition versus emotion. And the way that I can tell the difference is it feels like, I think about it like a current. It just feels like I'm getting kind of a pull from like a quiet, more subtle, but deeper current. And the emotions, and you know, there's nothing in my head when that happens. But but one of the ways I can tell that my emotions are kind of running wild is if my mind starts chattering. And you know, that's kind of just been a game of trial and error, is figuring out, you know, it's kind of like I talked about this last time too, is like sometimes I make mistakes and I think it was intuition, and I realized like I got tricked, I got duped, and I made a mistake is my emotions. And that's one of the ways that I've been one of the patterns that has shown up is that consistently whenever it's like that actual intuition, there's really nothing there. It's kind of just happening versus right. when it's the emotions, it's like there's chatter in my head.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So if you were to advise a friend, let's say, around how to navigate through their emotional content, what would you tell them?
I guess, what do you mean by navigate?
Good question. So let's say, for example, let's use a relational question example, which is common at your age. So you have a friend who goes out on a date, falls in love with somebody, and is just so in love emotionally, invested, attached, turned on, all the things that go with that, and ready to marry this person and run off into the sunset.
How they would navigate and deal with that?
How would you advise them to navigate and deal with that? Yeah.
Well,
or maybe it's happened to you and you had to navigate that yourself. Either way.
This kind of goes back to the thing that we were talking about labels and words and descriptions before, in that for much of this, for the past couple of years for me, I didn't, and I mean, mostly really the past like 8 months-ish, I didn't put much of a, since I like really went deeper into Taoism and Zen Buddhism and stuff like that, I didn't put much of a value on describing things and using labels and words, because I was just like, okay, as long as I feel it, that's enough. But then you said something in the episode of like, but giving words to things and describing things in a skillful way, still not mistaking it for the actual thing, but doing it in a skillful way is what allows you to actually help other people figure that out as well. And that was something that I hadn't thought about, because I was just like kind of selfishly just being like, whatever, like all, so long, like I'm not a teacher, so long as I just figure it out for myself, that's step one. So that's mostly where I've been. And the weird part about it, I mean, the way that I'm living and thinking recently has been very different than the way that I used to, and very different than like many of the friends around me, like the way that they think about things. So I think it would be kind of like, I've run into this a few times where I'll kind of just be like, you know, just do what you want to do. Yeah. And it turns out that for a lot of people, and you know, this was really, it looks like 90% of the purpose that Alan Watts and Ram Dass served was just getting people out of their own head.
Yeah.
And, you know, like if you say that to somebody who's kind of wrapped up in their head too much, they just, it's kind of an, I think for us in the West, it's an extreme way of living where you really are just surrendering fully. And that takes a lot of, it takes a lot of like willingness and confidence in your actual intuition to be able to do that instead of like kind of freaking out. So sometimes like I'll take an approach, like with these podcasts, I found that often my favorite way to do it, and this is the thing that I found with exams, is that I find that somehow I'm most creative and I come up with the best ideas and stuff when I'm just kind of seeing it happen as everybody else is, or I'm hearing what I'm saying as you are. Mm-hmm. And that would kind of be like, you know, and you know, I'm drifting from your question about relationships a little bit. Frankly, I don't have much experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think it would really just be to get out of your head and stop thinking so much and just kind of like do what you want to do in each moment. But you, again, like back to our topic last time of like differentiating between impulsiveness and that deeper understanding, you have to get in touch with that too. So it's kind of like a whole thing. I think I would probably one of the issues with any time like I talk about any of this stuff with somebody who's not familiar with this world is like they have no context for it. And this is one of the reasons why the first couple of times I read the Tao Te Ching, I had no idea what he was saying. And then I had to go, I had, you know, I'd read Watts and Ram Dass and listen to the podcast and like all the stuff before I could. Now I read it. It's my favorite book now. And before I didn't want to touch it because I didn't know what to do with it. But now I can read it and I feel like I have a better understanding of it. So yeah. I think to give you like a long-winded answer. Yeah, I'm not sure if I could give like quick advice to most of the people that I know for that, just because the context isn't there. But maybe, you know, the two books that really, really helped me understand this kind of way of living was Tao Te Water Course Way and The Way of Zen. Because he kind of outlines the differences and if you play with it and like try it out, then you'll start to understand it a little bit more. But I guess it's, and you know, this is the thing that Rick Rubin runs into, where he's just the funniest thing about him, he says the simplest thing just over and over and over again. And he became like this mega producer just from going in with artists and him being like, just make what you want to make. And they're like, what? They're like, what about this? And he's like, no, stop. Just make what you want to make. And that's kind of my approach to mostly everything. So I think I would also apply this to that kind of situation as well.
Wow. I love the distinction that you're making around having a context for it. Another way to say that might be having an interest in it even.
That too. Because I'm not sure if it's for everybody. So right. I think it depends on where you're at. Because, you know, some people might resonate with more of like Christianity or like Western self-help, which is much more like analytical and rational and intellectual. That might actually work for people better for people. I'm sure there's a large portion of people that works better for. I happen to be better intuitively than intellectually, so this just resonates with me for whatever reason based on my personality and my inclinations, but it also might not work for everybody, so it's hard to say.
And there are tons of people who aren't interested in it at all.
Right.
They're just, which has often been really hard thing for me to accept. And I think as a young person, especially discovering this kind of work and this way of living and way of being was so liberating for me over time. I couldn't imagine. This is the self-absorption, right? I couldn't imagine that everybody wouldn't want to be interested in this.
Yeah.
Doing this. And it's taken me a while to really rest in trusting that life is handling it all, including the weird characters that aren't interested in this context or this kind of work at all, and just doing really weird stuff on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are we going to do but accept it as part of the natural order of things? That's been a hard one for me, Grok. I don't know if that's true for you either, but one of the questions that one of my students brought up after listening to our first podcast was about our relationships with our families. So people who are close to us that don't share this context or this interest, how in the world do we keep our attention on this and go forward with it in a sincere way, which is one of the words I use to describe you. You have this sincerity. How do we do that if our parents think we're crazy or our siblings want to, you know, lock us up? I mean, that's an important question, right?
Yeah. Well, I happen to have parents who are very accepting and open to my wild ideas because I've been like this since a kid. Cool. So, and I've always been somebody that's like, we have a dog, and he doesn't like to be like grabbed and held. And like, so anytime you like pick him up and hug him and squeeze him, he like freaks out. And he starts like squirreling around and wants let down. And that's always how I've been, just as a personality. So like at any time that, and it's parenting. It's like you have a kid and like they say wild things or like do wild things. Like you're trying to, you're like, hey, relax, dude. Like, let's try to get you within some kind of boundary.
Right.
But I've always been like weird about going outside of the lines and react pretty viscerally anytime that like someone tries to put me in a box. So they've always been, so like nobody's ever tried to, especially like in the last several years with me getting older, like they're kind of like, I don't know. He's just gonna do what he's gonna do and say what he's gonna say. Sometimes I'll talk. I mean, my podcast really started with conversations with my mom, like when I
Oh,
was a
that's
kid.
fast.
Like we would always like we would have, and I would just be rambling about stuff, and like I still do that now. Like I'll get on the phone with her, and you know, it's like whenever I get obsessed with stuff, it's like all I'm thinking about. So if like so she'll call me or something, and we'll have a conversation, and I'm just spewing. And
Wow.
I'm like, who knows? I'm like, first of all, this is probably incoherent because I'm just all over the place. Second of all, she's probably like, what is he talking about? So yeah, I mean, they've been open to it, but I found that in the same way that I don't want to be like told what to think or what to do, they also don't. So it's
Yeah.
like if I start giving somebody a spiritual ear beating, it's really not going to be very productive. And then you also turn into one of those people that's like that like actually makes it sound bad, which is part of why I've been a little bit reserved in talking about it. I found that for me, because I'm not, you know, there's a select few amount of people who happen to do a really good job of articulating these kinds of things, like yourself with the book. And I think to some extent it's like if you're not good at it, like I don't know, it might do more harm than good because you might just sound crazy. So I found for me, my approach really has just to be to try to live that way as much as I can and embody it and then just
Oh,
see what happens. And like
beautiful.
see if that rubs off in some way and see
Yeah.
if, you know, instead of being like, don't care about what other people think and just like lecturing people, like actually live that. And then that happens, that seems to be more effective with people that I've been around. And the funny thing is not even because that's my goal. It's just the way that I'm interested in living, and it happens to be that way because that's the most genuine way of me doing it, instead of me being like, I'm gonna live this certain way so that other people do it as well because I want them to be like me.
Right.
It's just like living the way that actually makes me happy seems to be the most effective way of doing
Beautiful. Back to that selfish orientation, that wisely
it.
selfish orientation, which is what the Dalai Lama makes this really beautiful distinction between a wise selfishness. I don't know if I said this on our last conversation,
Yeah,
but I
but
meant
t touch on that again, though. I think it's a
it's
really good
so.
point.
It is so beautiful, and it encourages, because what I hear you saying, first of all, bless your parents, like
No
high five,
kidding.
high 10, high 100. What a beautiful container for you to be held in and to grow in. So a deep, deep bow for them. And I think it would be beautiful for you to have a podcast with your mom
That'd be very fun.
And let us meet her. That
If
would
we
be
just
so
mic up one
refreshing.
of like our normal conversations,
Yes.
because she'll be like, she'll text me, but she'll be like, hey, do you have like 10 or 15 minutes? And we'll go for like
Three
4 hours.
hours later, yeah.
Yeah, it's
I
wild. It's like that's really where a lot of this started, and
it.
it's just her being willing to, even if she's not interested in 90% of the things that she's saying, just sitting there and just letting me ramble is kind of just, I don't know, opened the gate to this to some extent. So yeah, seriously, like.
And that's so important. I feel as a teacher, so we're talking about the selfishness, the wise selfishness is an individual like you who takes it upon himself to know himself. And that what I heard you just say is in the process of that happening, in addition to your parents holding a container of love for you to be in just as you are without trying to box you in, something inside you could naturally blossom. So the wise selfishness that you are bringing in, and the unwise selfishness is a lot of what we see out in the world. And we mentioned it earlier in social media, the sensationalism of podcasts or on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, that's wanting, grasping, like the hungry ghosts. Yeah. So there's this sense that if we're really, and I feel this as a teacher, as I'm growing as a teacher, that so much of what helps my students and my clients grow is how much I love them, creating, and it has to be sincere, the genuine care for other humans to find their way to that connection to the river of life and that relaxation to trust it that you have. And it's really beautiful to feel that in a young person and to hear you speak is clear to me, for what it's worth, my perspective, that you're tapping into that deep well, and you're giving permission for your surface wells, which you could say is Jake's personality and his unique brain configuration, to just make art out of your life. Going back to Rick Rubin, just make art, just do what you want to do, but you're listening to the current. You're not listening to the latest podcast influencer or social media powerhouse that's saying, do this, do that, do this. You're not listening. It's like you're tuned in. Our dials are tuned into a totally different radio station than mainstream people are. And it's curious to me. Yeah, it's just curious to me, less so now. I think now I'm more accepting. Like, that's just the way it is, Sarah. There's, hey, don't preference your dial on the radio, Sarah, because that's hubris. Just know there's lots of different stations, and be on yours and have fun and enjoy life and do good as best as you can and let everybody else do their thing.
And the idea, well, one of the ideas that was really helpful, I think it's from Tao Te Water Course Way, which is Alan Watts' book that is explaining Taoism a little bit more, which like helped me understand it instead of just reading the actual book. But one of the things that he mentions in that book, and I think he also mentions it in The Way of Zen in the section on Taoism, but this belief and this faith that like each form on Earth going its own natural way creates like the harmony of the universe. And like, it's an interesting idea to play with. And that actually helped me, like that helped me quite a bit with letting go of the idea that like other people should have the same interests or values that I do. Cause it's that belief of like, even if somebody is doing something, cause they also talk about kind of experiencing life beyond the polarities of like good and evil. And you know, the master accepts the saints and the sinners. And like this idea is that you just kind of, instead of worrying about the label, there's use for those because we, you know, we structure societies and we want to keep people from doing certain things, but like you watch people live in a certain way. And so long as that's what they're actually like put here for, and that's what they're actually meant for, the belief is that like that creates the harmony of the universe. And you kind of see that if you're paying attention, like this, and not to sound like lecture is, and like, oh, if you don't notice, you're not paying it. I mean, like for myself, like when I'm more aware and more paying attention and not worrying about labeling behavior, it looks like that. It's weird. Like, right. Like you hear conversations and you see people do things, and there just seems to be this like indescribable way that things fit together. So I'm just like, oh, okay. Like for whatever reason, that's there for this reason. And we just happen to like come up with these, and you know, maybe you could argue with it. If you're like anti-moral relativism, I haven't gone that deep into that route, but it's like, the labels that we throw on things are kind of like we made them up. Like this is the belief in Taoism and Zen. It's like we made up those labels. So like you could put those away for a second. They're useful for society, and like, you know, I don't want to get killed or robbed or whatever. But and on less extreme levels, if somebody's like judgmental or rude or, but those are still labels, and you can kind of just watch things without that and just see what happens. And it's an interesting experience. I'm not sure how to describe, but that's kind of how I deal with that difference between like my priorities and values and other people's.
Wow. That's so wise. So what would you advise, or how are you orienting around politics, let's say? So we both live in the United States and we're in a very tumultuous political time right now. And you're a young person. I'm in, you know, the latter half of my life. You're in the beginning half of your life. You have a big future ahead of you, as it should be, whereas I'm seeing the horizon a little bit more than you are. And so, and of course, when I was your age, Paul, there was whatever political situation was going on then, but it feels a little bit more chaotic and disorienting and a little bit more scary for a lot of people, the polarization that's happening and all of the different machinations of that globally. So I'm curious to hear from a young person, how are you orienting towards that with this depth of understanding that you have?
So, well, I've had a funny couple of elections that I've been most aware of. So, you know, Trump got elected in 2016. That was really the first. I was a freshman in high school, so that was the first election that I paid most attention to. And you know, there were a lot of problems within my school because of that. You know, there was a lot of like division and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's interesting is, you know, I grew up in Columbus, which is a blue city,
Ohio. But
also in Ohio in a red state. So like you get a lot of both. So I'm not rural anywhere. I'm not, you know, California or New York, like farther left. Like I'm seeing both. I'm kind of just like, I've always been like somewhere in the center, like tilted in different directions at different times of my life for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I was more interested for the last like couple, just because there was so much noise. I'm argumentative and I like what, you know, you get caught up in the sport of it. And then after, you know, with so much chaos, and I watched, you know, from 15 to, I think to, from like 15 to 20, I watched, you know, the Trump election and then all the stuff that was going on there. And then all the claims that were being made and all like, and then you watch, you know, the people storming the Capitol and the second election and, you know, all the BLM stuff that was going on and all the, like, it was kind of just a lot of madness. And I was watching the way that people my age were behaving on Twitter and social media. And there was a lot of virtue signaling and all, like just noise.
Yes.
And, you know, people just, it was just tribal warfare, especially knowing people that, since I know people from like anywhere on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
I kind of just, after the second one, I was kind of like, I'm out. So I just kind of, I dropped out to some extent. And I've kind of been in that state for a while, because what I noticed is that every day they would just try to make it sound like a bomb went off. And then in 3 weeks it goes away and nothing ever happened. And I was like, okay, like this is a disaster. Like this is just, also there was COVID. So there was all that, all those problems. And I was like, okay, like this is just, I have no idea what to do with this. I don't know where to get information. I don't trust anybody. Like everybody just, it seems to be just complete political bias. And like I said, like tribal warfare, like I'm going to drop out. I'll watch for the next election, which, you know, we're coming up, so it's going to be interesting. I'll probably like tune in to, you know, because it looks like it's going to be Trump and Biden unless, you know, they replace Biden with somebody, but that's what it looks like. And I'll watch the debates, I'll see, and then who knows. But I've, you know, I definitely don't have a good answer for politics, but I'm kind of in a throw my hands up situation where like I have no idea. Because it kind of seems like just a disaster all over the place. So
do you feel like it's going to, it one way or the other, is going to impact your life in any certain way?
That's another problem.
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
Not well, maybe. Who knows?
Right.
It's mm-hmm. tough. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not aware. Well, like, you know, it's hard to say because there's no, like, you can't do like an A/B test. It's kind of like macro. It's like macroeconomics. Like who knows? Like you can't. Like so, I was gonna say, for the last two, with all the madness that happened over the last two elections, I can't point to anything where I'm like it would have been substantially different the other way. So
yeah.
I don't know, but mm-hmm. and you know, it's like all you hear is just like the other side ripping the other guy apart. And like how the other guy would do it so much better, but they both, it just seems like it's kind of a nightmare between like both of them. I'm optimistic in the future. I think we're going to calm down. I think we went through a phase where like with media and social media and stuff, like whoever was getting the screen time is like, who's getting the vote. And, you know, social media kind of blasted everything out mm-hmm. of in terms of like the most outrageous politicians are getting all the time. I mean, Trump's a great example of that. Like he was mm-hmm. just really good at leveraging attention. I think we're going to get over that and get tired of that and maybe just go back to like a boring politician, which at this point I would kind of prefer. So who knows? I will say that I've you know, this isn't a good, and I'm sure you've experienced this to some extent with being in retreat for a while. Right now I've been in a period where I've gotten much happier, much more peaceful, and much more healthy over the past couple of years.
Yes.
But the cost of that has been like somewhat becoming a social ascetic. And that includes like media and news. I've kind of just dropped it. And then there's, you know, I'm not watching like wars constantly.
Yeah.
So to some extent it's like, well, you're you have a responsibility. So like there's that argument, but to another extent, I was kind of like, I felt like I just needed to step away from all the noise for a little bit.
Yeah. So
that's where I'm at right now.
I think that's really wise, sweetie. I feel like that. I love that term, social ascetic. I love that you had the intuition and sensing to take that pause and take that time away, because part of what we're talking about here is how do we live our spiritual lives in the material world? So part of my questioning was, how are you orienting? You have this, what we're going to call a spiritual orientation, and I'm curious, how is that manifesting in your life, in your relationships, in your political activism, in your citizenship, in your response to climate change, all of the issues that are really high profile in the media in these times. And what I hear you saying is, I have optimism, Sarah, that my connection to source, my taking the time away, because being in the, there's a word for it, where you're like right where the bullets are going,
crossfire.
Right? In the crossfire, thank you. When you're in the crossfire, didn't serve you mentally, physically, emotionally, and stepping out didn't mean you were not caring, and it didn't mean you weren't listening, and it didn't mean you weren't ready to step in and engage in a sincere way. It's more that you are stepping back so you can hear more clearly what is yours to do, and how will you move into the current of life and play your unique role. And I think that's really wise and really beautiful. And I think that's a lot of what I'm hoping to create the conditions for people to do the same, to take that to whatever degree they can, that time out, that willingness to become a social ascetic, and know that it doesn't mean, just like for me being in retreat for those 10 years, I got a lot of fingers pointing at me that I was being irresponsible and selfish and disengaged and exercising my white privilege to just check out of all the problems. And really what I was doing in retrospect, and even maybe I knew it somewhat at the time, I think you're more aware of it as you're in it than I was, which is I was listening for where I fit in to the current of life that felt authentic, that actually felt like me. And it took a while for me to calibrate that. It feels like for you, it's coming easier and more seamlessly as you are growing into your manhood and your adulthood. So that's just, I just want to say how beautiful it is to bear witness to.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't call it, I mean, for me, it hasn't been seamless. So, this is part of why I dropped out from a lot of things, is that like, there were a lot of problems, like with, there were a lot of like ego games and with sports and stuff. Like I was just like, I kind of got like brute forced into like this whole path, this whole journey after getting sick. It kind of like put me on my back for a while to like figure out things and like, and go, you know, like I feel like I'm not living from the right place. Like I definitely, like I could have like a better foundation for how to live. And that's what started a lot of this. And I felt like there were so many, there were like so many issues, and even like, think like ways I was spending my time, like ways I was thinking, just things I was doing, like people I was around, and like a lot of it, I was kind of like, okay, let's just, and you know, not easy to do. I started like cutting a lot of stuff out. And
how did you do that? How did you How did you do that? I think that would help the listener to know real specifically if it wasn't seamless. You know my
Yeah.
story and some of the details. Give us a little of the details if you're willing.
So when I got sick, yeah, so I'll start when I got sick. So I was in school and I was working as a music producer. This is why I'm so interested in Rick, because this
I
has been an
love
interest.
that. Fun.
And I was way overworking and not taking care of my health. So
Okay.
I was in school full time and I was working on music and just went like, so my freshman year of college, I was like back and forth between like the I was like between like socialization and partying and stuff. And
Yep.
then I wanted to do music, but I hadn't really like I was doing it, but like not enough in my head. And then I was also doing school. And then after that I moved to Ohio State and back home to Columbus, and I was living by myself, and I was fully online, so I was just inside all the time and just working all the time, and very unhappy, like really just like didn't know how to like work well, didn't know how to work effectively, wasn't taking care of my health, wasn't peaceful, like wasn't sleeping, was making bad decisions. And then it happened to be that the summer going into that year, I got bit by a tick and didn't get treated. So like 6 months later, like I was having problems and I was having like issues with my wrist and my neck and stuff. And I just I attributed it to like carpal tunnel being on my computer too much and like clicking and stuff too much. So I didn't do anything about it. And I was so like obsessed. I was like, whatever, it'll be fine. And then it really blew up in my face in like at the end of January. Because what happens with Lyme is that if you don't get it treated, it disseminates throughout your body and just rips everything apart. So like it tears up your joints and your nerves. So like I had to stop music. Like I couldn't physically make it because my hands were just like it really took a toll on my hands. It seems like whatever, like some a lot of people have problems with their knees. I was having problems with my knees because I wasn't getting up from the computer. So like I wasn't putting any wear on my. I was just sitting there like on a computer all the time. So for me, it was my hands and my wrists. So I was having like really piercing nerve pain and stuff like that. And I was, I'm writing essays, college essays with gloves on because like my hands were so cold and like the nerve problems were everywhere, like in my feet and my hands and everything. So I had to stop music, and then I kind of just got sidelined and nobody knew what was wrong. This is another problem. It's like we didn't know what happened for months and months and months and months. And so I ended up going, I'm getting treated at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore at their Lyme clinic, which is 6 hours from here. So I'm like, we're driving, we're making 12-hour round trips for doctor's appointments. I'm getting all these tests and stuff. And so during like it wasn't like it wasn't really a choice. It kind of just happened and like I couldn't do anything. And I was like, well, I can't do anything. So let's just cut. I mean, who like I don't know what to do. Like I'm sitting on the couch all the time, like I'm out of school by the summer, and we're like the focus was just let's just get me healthy. So for the summer and the fall, I was off of school too. So I had like 8 months where I was just not doing anything. We were like, we didn't know what to do. And so that's when I was like, okay, well, I could, at first I was like, well, I could find a way to like be more productive and more effective and work better when I come back to music. And then also there was like the health issue. I was like, okay, I could focus on my health better and like get this figured out. 'Cause I didn't have much faith in the medical system. 'Cause it wasn't good. Like the way it was, like it was pretty clear like nobody knew what to do. I got some doxycycline, which actually did help because that kills the Lyme. But it was really late. And after that, I was like, no one knows what to like. They're giving me gabapentin, which just makes me a zombie. Like no one knows. So my answer was like, I was like, I kind of just have to figure this out. Like I kind of have to get myself healthy. Otherwise, like no one's gonna like all the te like none of the tests are coming back with anything. Nobody has any answers. So I just kind of got obsessed with like health, and I started like reading these books and stuff and like going at first it was like self-help because that was just like what I'd been familiar with, and then over time I started getting into like Eastern spirituality and stuff. And then through that period of like just obsessing over that stuff, I got to the point where I was like, okay, certain things like have to stop, like certain relationships, like I can't do that. So like really like it didn't even there wasn't much of a point where I was struggling with it, because by the end of my freshman year, I had kind of known that I was like to an end with a lot of different things. And I was like, okay, you know, I can't keep doing this. And that means that, like, you're going to have to push, well, not push people away, but just like not be around. Like if you can't not drink and you can't like handle being around a group of people, or if they're going to try to pressure you to drink, you just can't, like, you have to pick one.
Right.
And like, there were a lot of settings that was just like, that were intolerable. A lot of like bad habits that I had, I was just trying to, I mean, it didn't feel like, and back to this idea of like intuition and current, like it didn't feel like I had a choice. It felt like I was kind of like I was just doing like what I knew. Cause I had this situation where it's like, if I don't like kind of follow my conscience, then my mind just starts screaming at me. It's so like, I don't even have, I don't even have a pick. So I was, it was just kind of like a process of like one foot after another. And then I kind of got obsessed with this kind of stuff. Cause one of the things I was doing when I was sick is I was watching a lot of podcasts, and, and I was like, okay, like I could do this. Like this became more interesting to me. So that's why I'm doing this more. And like started doing this in August, which was right after I'd like really started learning more about some of the Eastern spirituality and ideas like that. So it was kind of just like a process of one step after another, and just kind of like making whatever decisions I felt like I needed to make so that I could like come out into the world from a better place, instead of trying to be it felt like if I went out, it felt like I was putting the cart in front of the horse and like trying to do different things, like trying to be entrepreneur or like relationships or whatever. It felt like I felt like I was on unstable ground. Yes. And I was just too tied up in too many different like things. Like I was just not thinking well. Uh-huh. And so like, I have to figure that out and get that together. So that's kind of what like this whole process has been. And I'm just now starting to get to a point where I'm like, you know, I'm always tempted to be like, I'm not ready to like go out and like do more things. But, cause for the most part, I just kind of like cut off most information, like went off social media and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm kind of like just slowly like creeping out of that space and like poking my head out the door.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not that I don't see anybody or don't talk to anybody. It's just like the list got a lot smaller, but it does turn out that I did get a lot happier and a lot healthier. So it seems like it was probably for the best. And
well,
yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like the isolation that a lot of people went through COVID, let's say, your isolation ended up being beneficial to you in a number of ways. And that I also feel like your story reflects similar to mine. And I think many, maybe Rick would say that, or Sharon, or all these people you're talking to, which is there is often a crisis of some sort. That there's some kind of phrase my husband always quotes that says that we come to the spiritual path, or we come to this kind of reckoning because we don't have any other options. It's not,
that's how it felt, like,
right? It's not like we wake up and we go, oh, even though I would say I had a natural curiosity about spiritual things as a child, it wasn't what drove me. What drove me, was a crash.
Yep.
And so that crash takes different forms. And what I also hear you saying that might benefit some of our listener as well is that it's possible to not wait till there's a huge crash and to recognize that we're all crashing to some degree right now. Yeah. And I think maybe that's where the politics, what's going on in our country and in the world, I feel like everybody, hello, wake up. This is all of us crashing before we burn. What do you say we roll and tumble with the crash together and use it as an opportunity to stand down off of the social media or business as usual and just look again, get curious again. What is the framework that I'm living my life in? What are the values that and the code of ethics that I'm following? Are they really mine? Am I really happy? Am I doing what I want? Or am I frozen on my social media scrolling? All these things that it's so funny because I feel there's a lot of social media influencers that are talking about how much we're addicted to social media, and they're talking about it on social media. It's insane. It's absurd on some level. But I appreciate you sharing the details, because I think it's really helpful for people to understand that it's not necessarily an easy journey, but the benefits of retuning ourselves to that current. There's nothing like it. Even if our life goes to shit from here, which it may, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And, you know, I mean, that, like, taking a step back, it really changed my life. Like, it changed the trajectory of my life. It changed the way that I think. Like, and, you know, so it seemed like I'm grateful for what happened. You know, I figured out, like, fairly quick, while it was pretty frustrating to be like, what the hell is going on?
And Lyme disease is intense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as time went on and there were, like, no answers, and you started getting like, am I going to get better? Because it was like, I mean, 11 months of like no progress, like very little. I had a little bit of progress after, and I was like debilitated. And I had a little bit of progress after Doxy, and I started to ramp up a little bit more in the fall, but I'm still getting, like, you know, MRIs and tests in like October, November, and this started in the January before. So
that's intense.
You know, like there were, you know, it wasn't easy, but pretty quickly, within a few months, I realized that it was whatever you want to call it, but it was kind of funny to have this, like, almost like divine halt where I was like, this is definitely what I needed.
That's what COVID was for all of us. Yeah. A divine halt lockdown. That's how I viewed it. This is great. But it wasn't that way because of what we talked about earlier in this conversation, which is, it's not everybody's destiny to do what we're doing. So for you, Lyme disease was the divine halt. For me, the second abortion was the divine halt. Other people, Lyme disease is just another thing to conquer, to get over, and they don't approach it as the divine halt.
Yeah.
So who knows really how it all works. But what we can agree on is that we each needed some sort of divine halt to help us reorient, and are incredibly grateful for those halts, even though they're incredibly difficult and painful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it happened to me for me that I've always really liked solitude. So, like, and you know, I played sports and stuff growing up, and that kind of like gets you a friend group and stuff, and like, so, and you know, you're going to practices every day and like all that stuff. So it's like it was like my socialization was always just kind of like it was never me like trying to be social necessarily. It would just kind of like happen. Like, you play sports, like you meet people, you go to school and all the time and everything. Yeah. So, I didn't have as much of a hard time with lockdown and isolation and stuff. But I know a lot of people that were like just climbing the walls. Yeah. So for me, like, I happened to get lucky just with that personality that like, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Like with the idea of like the reset, or like the punch in the mouth that like makes you like kind of turn things around, and you saying like you don't have to have that. Yeah, it seems like for a lot of people like that's what happens, and like that's kind of what has to happen. But I don't think that it does have to. Just a lot, like for me, like I'm very stubborn, and like often it takes me getting like punched in the face with something before I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if we ask all of the people that you interviewed, if Ram Dass is still alive, and we had to ask him, was there a punch in the face? Was there? Absolutely. He got kicked out of Harvard, you know, for him. For everybody, it looks different, but it seems like there is. I remember studying Gurdjieff. I don't know if you've come across him.
I've heard
at
about
all.
Him. I haven't got into him yet.
Interesting character. But he used to talk about, I can't remember the word he used for it, but it was sort of like a jolt that would come at you sideways, that would just throw you off course. And either you would be foolish enough to just like imagine that it was just happenstance or just the weather and get back on your old path, or you would take the jolt and you would wake up and reorient. And what a blessing.
Yeah.
What a blessing Angel becomes if you can take it that way. And I think that our people who are drawn to have conversations like this are being jolted all the time and looking for other people who get it and who can help them reorient. And that's where I feel like your podcast, though you're not a teacher per se, you are being of service by having these conversations.
Well, thank you. And thanks for contributing and, you know, willing to come on, you know, twice now. It's been a lot of fun. This one flew. Looking at the time now, this one probably went faster than like any of the other ones, because we were just able to go back and forth. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming back on and doing this one. It's you know, it was a pleasure to talk to you again.
Yeah, ditto, Jake. My pleasure. Anytime. All right.